Ethan Mahapunyamaham Alam Pavitram.
Ethan Mahapunyamaham Pavitram.
Dhanyam Yashasyam Padamayurashisham. Puranendriyanam Yudhisoya Vardhanam. Narayanam te gatiranga shimbatham. This most sacred narrative confers extraordinary merit, wealth, fame, longevity, and all the objects of one's desire. On the field of battle, it promotes the strength of one's vital organs and organs of action. One who listens to it at the last moment of his life is transferred to the supreme abode of the Lord, O Shaunaka. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Devotees are generally attracted to the narratives of the pastimes of the Lord. And even though they do not prosecute austerities or meditation, this very process of hearing attentively about the pastimes of the Lord, it will endow them with innumerable benefits, such as wealth, fame, longevity, and other desirable aims of life. If one continues to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, which is full of narratives of the pastimes of the Lord, at the end of his life, one is sure to be transferred to the eternal transcendental abode of the Lord. Thus, hearers are benefited both ultimately and for as long as they are in the material world. That is the supreme, sublime result of engaging in devotional service. The beginning of devotional service is to spare some time and listen to Srimad Bhagavatam from the right source. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also recommended 5 items of devotional service, namely, to serve the devotees of the Lord, to chant Hare Krishna, to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, to worship the deity of the Lord, and to live in a place of pilgrimage. Just by performing these 5 activities can deliver one from the miserable condition of material life. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 3rd canto, 19th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Killing of the Demon Hiranyaksha. Swami is herein so eloquently explaining the benediction one receives by carefully hearing this most sacred of all scriptures, Srimad Bhagavatam. Everyone in this world is seeking benedictions. According to who we approach for our benedictions, we will get something specifically in return. Those who are intelligence approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead for benedictions, because he is the only person that can ultimately give us that which will satisfy our soul. The soul is the eternal servant of Krishna. The soul loves Krishna. It is its inherent nature. However, being cast into this material existence and struggling here since time immemorial, we have forgotten the very essence of our eternal nature. It is almost impossible to conceive this inconceivable phenomenon. How someone who is Satchidananda, eternal, full of knowledge, full of bliss, who is the natural inheritor of all the joys of the spiritual world, who is personally an associate of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, would ever want to leave all of that behind, reject it all, just to struggle hard in this world of birth and death, wherein we naturally have a body that is like Krishna's body. It is pure spiritual substance. There's no disease, there's no birth, there's no old age, there's no death. Why we are content to live in this body or these bodies that are constantly sources of trouble. We have all seen people growing old. What an utterly miserable situation. You can't do what you want to do. And you know, as long as you're in this particular life, you'll never do what you want to do. Some of our old people, they see the young people dancing. They want to dance. They want to go places. They want to do deity worship. They want to cook. They want to do so many things, but they simply can't. Spirit is willing, but the flesh is just decaying. And if we're fortunate enough to live till old age, that is the destiny of all. In fact, if you look at life, say one does live to 100 years old. Once you reach your 40s, you start getting old. Have you seen? Things just don't work right. Once you reach 40 years old, your body does not work like it used to. It's like we see all these great athletes. By the time they're 32, they're practically finished because their body is just too old. By the time they're 35, they're old grandfathers from the point of view of being able to accomplish anything practically. And what to speak of 40? Your hair starts turning gray, your teeth start getting loose, arthritic pains start coming in. And it's not that it gets any better as the years go on. Quite the contrary, it gets worse and worse. By the time you're 50, you're thinking, what am I going to do with this body? And then 60, 70, 80, 90, 100. That means 50 to 60% of your life is suffering old age. Many of you are young. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You're not so young. I don't think we will get anybody over 50 that will disagree with what I'm saying. You get a few short years where your body's actually effective, efficient, and somewhat in a pleasing state. But even then, so many diseases, so many mental frustrations, so many limitations. Even so we see our little children, every now and then they have casts in their arms and casts in their legs and casts in their necks because casts in their fingers because they're always breaking their bones. And that's just that much less time that they can enjoy these rotting bodies. What is the situation? We are exchanging an eternal, blissful, spiritual form that is that the very body itself is the source of ecstasy because it's part of Krishna. For this. And we're attached to it. That's the most inconceivable arrangement. We're attached to it. Even if we know who we really are and what our inheritance really is. So much attached that it's so difficult to somehow or other detach ourselves from the objects of the senses. Srila Prabhupada wrote that book, Who is Crazy? Anyone who's trying to enjoy in this material world is rejecting the bliss of the soul, the bliss of Vaikuntha. It's crazy. And people suffer, but still they will not give it up. Essentially, people are attached to suffering with the hope that some little pleasure will come in between. It's worth it. So everyone in this world is looking for benedictions. Because everyone's more or less, sooner or later, desperate. Some people approach politicians for benedictions. Some academic scholars for benedictions. Please teach me to be a scholar. Some for some physical benefit, they want some benediction. Here we find that all benedictions that anyone could want could be achieved by attentively hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Extraordinary merit, wealth, fame, longevity, and all the objects of one's desire. On the field of battle, it promotes the strength of one's vital organs and organs of action. This is very interesting. You can get all these things just by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. But it's a trick. The trick is, promise anything, but you won't get these things unless you hear attentively with eagerness. If you're not attentive and eager, you won't get any of this. You'll probably just fall asleep. You'll get some extra sleep, like so many of you do every morning. Because what you get, what you put into something, that's in material life as well as spiritual life. So one can get all these material benedictions if one absorbs oneself with one pointed attention in eagerly hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. It is a fact. However, while you're doing it, something else happens. You start losing all your desires for everything. And by the time all those desires are fulfilled, you don't want them anymore. If you continue hearing. The problem is if you just hear very eagerly, very intensely, and then your desires start being fulfilled, and then you get distracted. You think, actually, I'm very empowered. My life is better than it's ever been. I was basically just nothing before I became a devotee. And just see what hearing a Srimad Bhagavatam has done for me. Now I'm intelligent, people respect me, and now people give me, I have all kinds of nice facilities to enjoy. And then we stop reading Srimad Bhagavatam. Then what happens? Because you stop reading it, but you've already attracted the mercy of Krishna. Krishna won't let you go. He will not allow you to be content with that material life. Somehow or other, he'll bring you back to taking shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam in this life or the next, through the agencies of his multifarious energies. We have seen people come to Krishna consciousness, sincerely chant the holy names, hear Srimad Bhagavatam. They get extraordinary merit, wealth, fame, longevity. The objects of their desires are being fulfilled. But then, the very benedictions of the Bhagavatam divert their attention away from the Bhagavatam. And they enjoy all of these benedictions for some time. But then they suffer. Then they get smashed. And then ultimately they come back to the Srimad Bhagavatam looking for something else. However, if we just consistently are eager to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, we lose the desire for all these things. Because that's practically what every page of Srimad Bhagavatam is telling us. We read about Hiranyaksha in this chapter. The benediction is given. He was he had all these things. But he was a miserable creature. And ultimately died a glorious death at the hands of the Lord. Throughout Srimad Bhagavatam, we read about how nothing can satisfy the soul except pure devotional service. So Krishna is so expert. He promises you anything, and then he gives you what you really want. There are many stories. There is the story that Srila Prabhupada told about that thief. He wanted so much riches. For a thief to get very, very valuable riches without much endeavor is the ultimate perfection of life. So somehow or other, while he was looking for someone to rob, he came upon some sages who were discussing Srimad Bhagavatam. And these sages, they didn't have anything to steal. They were just living in the forest. They had their kopans and their little water pots. What do you get from a babaji or a sadhu? But he heard them describing the beauty of Krishna. How he's just a little child. And he has a Shamsundar complexion. Very beautiful, dark colored form. And he has exquisite lotus-like eyes. And beautiful, shining, curling hair. His eyebrows are like the bows of Cupid. And his mother before he goes out to herd the cows in the forests and pastures, she puts on him beautiful jewels made of gold and silver, diamonds, emeralds, rubies, pearls. Ah, this is very, very interesting, he was thinking. He's alone in the forest. He's only a little child, and he has all this jewels on. I must find him. He kept listening that this child lives in Vrindavan, near the banks of Jamuna. Ah, he didn't want to forget this description. So he started going to Vrindavan with great eagerness. He was eagerly repeating their message in the mind constantly. It's like if someone gives you directions. If you don't have somewhere to write it down, you're constantly thinking, trying to keep it in your mind. So he was thinking, Krishna is his name. Krishna, 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 Krishna. He has lotus eyes. He's Shyam Sundar. He's these types of jewels in the forests of Vrindavan. This was constantly going through his heart. He was so eager. He was anticipating. If we could only be so eager. If you could be that eager to come and see Radha Gopinath, then what would you see? You would actually see Radha Gopinath. There are so many levels of how we can see Shri Radha Gopinath. The cockroaches are also seeing Radha Gopinath. But they have no conception that this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They'll go on the altar and pass stool right there without even thinking twice. They don't think it's an aparad. Would you ever consider doing such a thing? So there's so many levels of how we see the deities according to our consciousness. In relation to how eager we are, Krishna reveals the spiritual nature of his own form. So this thief was very, very eager, all for the wrong purpose. He was trying to get ultimately all the things we're reading about here. Extraordinary merit, wealth, fame, longevity, and all the objects of one's desire. Because in this material world, the illusion is that money will give us all these things. People are very, very eager for money. Prahlad Maharaj said, for materialistic people, money is... it is like honey. Very sweet. You can't eat it, but still that illusion is that it's so sweet because it can get me so many things. And through those things, I can become famous. It can give me long life. All my desires will be fulfilled. So this person had all the wrong reasons for remembering Krishna. However, he was so intensely determined to keep his consciousness fixed on Krishna. Om apavitra pavitro va sarvavastam gatopi va yasmarit pundarikaksam sabhayabhyantara suchi. We chant this upon initiation for very good reason. Because the purpose of initiation in spiritual life is only one thing, purification. And there's only one way to purify our heart, and that's to constantly remember Krishna. Purified or unpurified, or even having passed through all various situations in life, one who remembers the lotus-eyed Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, Pundarikaksham, He becomes purified within and without. This thief was immersed in remembering Krishna. When we were at Ahovalam last week, we were discussing Narada Muni's conversation with Maharaj Yudhisthira. Yudhisthira Maharaj was asking, how is it possible that Shishupal, his soul, entered into the body of Krishna? That means that his body took the same type of form of Krishna and entered into the spiritual world of Vaikuntha. There are yogis, rishis, pious people who cannot attain such a goal. Shishupal was an envious demon. His only association was with envious demons. He hated Krishna. How much Shishupal hated Krishna, we'll never know. The intensity of a feeling. What intensity? He was told when he was a little tiny baby that Krishna would be the cause of his death. And he was a totally materialistic person. Maharaj Yudhisthira explains that when Shishupal was such a tiny child, he couldn't even talk. He was just braying like an ass in blasphemy of Krishna. And the first words out of his mouth was his hatred toward Krishna. And then he saw Krishna prospering in every way, and this made him even more envious. What's more painful to the material mind than when your enemy is prospering better than you? Hare Krishna. People are willing to risk their life just to stop this phenomena from taking place. So his whole life was just hearing the glories of Krishna and becoming more and more disturbed, and trying to somehow or other enlighten the world by revealing the truth about Krishna. Whoever you are, whatever you do, there could always be someone who's trying to just destroy your good name and fame, whether it's true or not. That's the nature of this world. So Shishupal's ultimate goal in life was to discredit Krishna. But he couldn't do it. It was his constant meditation. And then to make matters hundreds and millions of times worse, Shishupal became madly infatuated with worldly affection for Rukmini. She was so beautiful. She's an expansion of the goddess of fortune. What it is to be so-called in love in this material world, it's a totally infatuating, intoxicating experience that can either bring intense joy or the ultimate misery. This is the main reason people commit suicide, because of frustrated so-called love affairs. Now, as devotees will say, you know, just go on with your life, don't worry about it. That's what the brahmacharis would say. And somebody who's nicely situated in grihastha ashram will say, oh, just forget about it. And there's so many matajis or men in this world, you know, it's not the end. Just go on with your life. They can't, impossible. They just fall in this deep, dark ditch and lamentation and separation, and they can't get out. That's what happens. And to the degree you are
attracted by someone to that same degree you suffer. Well, we're attracted to the horse-like forms of so-called humans in this world. Can you imagine being attracted to Rukmini? Hare Krishna, don't even imagine. It's an offense, terrible offense. But Shishupal was. His heart and soul he gave to her. And he was also very proud. His good name and fame was very important to him, especially amongst the other demons. So then Rukma, the brother of Rukmini, made all the arrangements for Shishupal to marry Rukmini. And Rukmini understood that this is a terrible situation because I've given my heart to Krishna. But Shishupal was thinking, this is the ultimate goal of my life. If I get Rukmini, even Krishna will be envious of me. And when all the arrangements were made, he very, very proudly, in a boasting way, sent invitations to all of his associates, all the big, big people of the demoniac dynasties. They all came to the glorified wedding of Shishupal and Rukmini. And just at the last stage, when all the preparations were being made and the different rituals were being performed, one of the traditions is the bride goes to their family deity to get blessings, then comes for the final marriage ceremony. So she went to the temple of Bhavani, and she prayed to Bhavani that I sent this Brahman. I sent him to give my message to Krishna. Please save me. I'm like a little sheep, and Shishupal's like a jackal. Please come and save me. I've given my heart, my life, my everything in total surrender to your lotus feet. But Krishna, he knows how to purify his devotee very nicely. He didn't send a message back immediately and say, I'm on my way. She got no reply. Days went by, no reply. Did he get the message? Maybe he just rejected me. Maybe, I don't know, is this my destiny? It's moments away. She was praying to Bhavani, please bring Krishna to save me from this most undesirable possibility. And meanwhile, Shishupal and all his friends were just having a merry festival. They were all very, very happy, very proud. And then when Shishupal was right there and Rukmini was right there and everyone was right there about to see this glorious event, Krishna just came. Krishna, when he wants to do something, he can fulfill so many purposes. He had Rukmini at the verge of death before he came to bring her. And he took her away just when Shishupal, his heart, was at its highest point. And all the friends of Shishupal were all personally present to see what was going to happen. Krishna Bhagavan ki. He just drove up, picked up Rukmini and drove away on his wonderful chariot. And Shishupal, Rukma, everybody, they, wow, how, impossible. What has he just done? They started chasing after, and Krishna, he just, Balaram came to, and they were totally defeated. So can you imagine how envious Shishupal was then? Then he hears all these pastimes of Krishna living in Dwarka with Rukmini in his beautiful palace. This is the supreme story of envy. in this world. Day and night, he was remembering Krishna. And because of this remembrance, at the time of death, because he remembered Krishna throughout his life, antakali chamameva smaran bhaktva kalevaram yaprayati samad bhavam yati nasyatri sangshaya. One who, Krishna says, quits his body at the time of death, remembering me alone, attains me without fail. Shishupal was remembering throughout his life, and at the time of death, Krishna was standing right before him with the Sudarshan Chakra. And the chakra cut off his head. He was in the midst of just blaspheming Krishna uncontrollably, and the soul entered into Krishna's body. Narada Muni said he was so absorbed in Krishna, he was so eager to think of Krishna at every moment, that he was completely purified. Srimad Bhagavatam is the literary incarnation of Krishna. It is Krishna in book form. All the opulences of Krishna are contained in Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is a murti in sound vibration. Srila Prabhupada said you can put the Bhagavatam on the altar and worship it. It's none different than Krishna, because it contains nothing but the glorification of Krishna and Krishna's devotees. Thus, one who eagerly, intensely hears Srimad Bhagavatam, for whatever reason, will get purified. And it is explained here, on the field of battle, it promotes the strength of one's vital organs and organs of action. If only all the soldiers of the world, if the soldiers are lined up in Kashmir on both sides of the line of control, LOC, if they only knew this, if they would just listen to Srimad Bhagavatam, because, you know, they're in a very desperate situation. Someone's shooting right at you and you're shooting right at them. It's a very uncomfortable predicament to be in. In the battlefield, death can come at any moment. And usually it does. It's not just something to imagine, it's a reality. You see people's bodies being slaughtered all around you, and you know that they're trying to get you. It's a very difficult situation. In that situation, you want to promote your strength and your vital organs so you could win the battle. So if only in that desperate situation on the battlefield they would just start taking shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam. They would be taking shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam to defeat the enemy. But if both sides did it, what would happen is after some time they would just drop their weapons and start embracing each other and start bowing down. Bancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindubhyevacha patitanam pavani vyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. I have some prasad, would you like some? Yes, yes, I've been on this battlefield hungry for months, give me prasad. They'd have kirtan. There would be peace on earth. That's actually the only solution. One who listens to this message at the last moment of his life is transferred to the supreme abode of the Lord, O dear Sonaka. Srila Prabhupada explains how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Srila Rupa Goswami, and through him to the whole world, that there are five
most important recommended items of devotional service, namely to serve the devotees of the Lord. Krishna tells Arjuna in the Adi Purana that one who considers himself my devotee and one who serves me is not really my devotee. But one who is the devotee of my devotee, he is most dear to me. Without association of devotees, without service to devotees, we cannot make any real spiritual progress. We're talking about the importance of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. But without the association of devotees, the hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam will not have any real effect. In fact, if we hear Srimad Bhagavatam from people who aren't sincere devotees, who are not transparent or endeavoring by all right proper means to become transparent, then the effects of Srimad Bhagavatam will be quite opposite. Sanatana Goswami says, just as milk, which is most nutritious food, if it is touched by the lips of a poisonous serpent, although the milk itself is always full of nourishment, what's mixed with it could kill you. That is poison. So therefore, we should understand, even something very nice, if you put all kinds of contaminations in it, that thing may still be nice, but all the contaminations with it are not very nice. It could kill you. So we should not hear the transcendental message unless we know that Krishna is going to come through this transcendental message. Nothing in spiritual life is automatic. Everything is happening by the independent free will of Krishna. Whatever progress we make in anything we do will only come by the mercy of Krishna. If he doesn't pay attention to what you do, you cannot make any progress. So if someone is speaking from Srimad Bhagavatam as a professional, actually Srila Prabhupada warned us that most of the speakers of Srimad Bhagavatam do not even believe in the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. Or they have a very wrong conception of what it's saying. Therefore, it may be very entertaining to the mind, but there's no real spiritual benefit at all. In fact, all that person's misconceptions are going into your heart. When you hear for someone, just like Shukadev Goswami, he was the supreme most speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is considered to be the ripened fruit of the tree of Vedic literatures. The Vedic literatures give all knowledge on all subjects. Philosophy, astrology, astronomy, geology, politics, medicine, warfare, family life, renunciation, architecture. It's all there in Srimad Bhagavatam. And I mean, it's all there in the Vedas. And the Vedas explain, according to a particular person's consciousness, how they can be elevated by hearing these subject matters. Demigod worship, fruitive activities, elevation to heavens, mystic powers. It's all there. You can get it all. It's a desire tree.
Now on a mango tree, the ripened mango is the perfection of that tree. Similarly, Srimad Bhagavatam is the ripened fruit on the tree of the Vedic literature. It's the essence, the perfection, the culmination of all Vedas is Srimad Bhagavatam. That ripened fruit, when it is touched by the beak of a particular type of parrot called shuka, then the fruit becomes even sweeter and more nourishing. Full of vitamins, nutrients, and nectarine taste. So Shukadeva Goswami is that parrot. When he tastes the Srimad Bhagavatam fruit from Vedavyas, and then when he speaks it, it becomes even more beneficial. However, if somehow or other a serpent starts eating that mango, what happens to the mango? It becomes filled with his poison. Then if you eat it, you will die or get very sick. So similarly, when a devotee who is honestly and sincerely endeavoring to be the humble servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord, who is being directed by the higher powers of disciplic succession, when that person repeats Srimad Bhagavatam, it has very, very nourishing effect to our soul. And when a pure Paramhamsa devotee speaks it, then how transparently Krishna is just manifesting himself through the narration of Srimad Bhagavatam, through the purports of Srimad Bhagavatam. If we are eager to hear in the association of such sincere devotees, the most intimate desires of the soul will be fulfilled. If we are eager to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, chant the holy names of the Lord, worship the deity of the Lord, live in a holy place where the Lord's service is being performed, then we are certain to be transformed, transferred to the spiritual world. Of this there is no doubt. This is the great benediction. This is the benediction of hearing this particular chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the benediction of every syllable of Srimad Bhagavatam. If we want this most precious, valuable human life to have substantial benefit, there's only one means: to associate with devotees, to come and worship the deity of the Lord, to live in a holy place, to intently, eagerly hear Srimad Bhagavatam, and to congregationally chant the holy names. Simple, but certain. There may be some difficulties in executing these five principles, but those difficulties are benedictions also. Because when there's difficulties, if we are sincere in the right association, then those difficulties will give us a better appreciation and a deeper sense of urgency to take shelter of these gifts of the Lord. Difficulties are our best friends or our worst enemies, just like the mind. If we face the difficulties by seeking shelter of Krishna, then the difficulties become our very good friends. If they cause us to give up our hope, our faith, and look for other alternatives for shelter, then it is our worst enemy. So difficulties will come by the arrangement of Krishna. It may come due to the reactions of our previous activities or directly from Krishna causelessly. Either way, it's Krishna's sanction. Never think that life in this world will ever be as you like it. Impossible. You may be under that illusion for a few seconds, but it will not last. So many heartbreaks, so many failures, so many troubles, so much opposition naturally comes. The very body we live in will propose so many opposition to what you want to do. What to speak of your mind? How many of you receive opposition from your minds? None of you. All of you. But the opposition of the mind causes our intelligence to understand how desperately we need the association of devotees, how desperately we need to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, how desperately we need to come and worship the deity, how desperately we need to loudly take shelter of the holy names. Perhaps all of your minds are very peaceful and cooperative because you did not very loudly chant. Try again. Thank you very much. Because of the power of your devotion and the volume, the name was somewhat getting close to my heart. That is your mercy upon me. Every situation, we should always be searching for the reason and the means by which we can increase the intensity of taking shelter of these five most important devotional objects. And if we do so, Krishna's promise will certainly be fulfilled. Thank you very much. Is there any questions? Yes.
Shishupal was a very lusty person. But along with the lust, which was so intense in his heart, as you explained, he also had a lot of pride. He had a lot of envy. He was in total illusion, like that. So all the anarthas actually were there. So Krishna tells in the Bhagavad Gita that right in the beginning, you should curb this big enemy of lust. So what I'm asking is that if lust is conquered, then do automatically all the other anarthas also get weakened up and get eliminated, or is it that separately one has to endeavor to eliminate these anarthas?
You cannot conquer any of them, these anarthas. Only Krishna can conquer. Our purpose is not to conquer lust. Our purpose is actually to conquer Krishna by our humility and devotion. Krishna is conquered by the humble devotee who surrenders his life with devotion. That is his most wonderful transcendental quality. And by the reciprocation of Krishna's mercy upon us, he conquers all of these anarthas within our hearts. However, part of our devotion is to remain faithful and chaste to his service. That means we must very, very diligently tolerate the effects of lust, anger, pride, greed, envy, and illusion. Whenever they come forward, we must somehow or other tolerate, not give in, and be a victim. Because if we do, we are betraying Krishna. So why do we tolerate the pushings of these base qualities, these animalistic propensities? We are tolerating them not because we think we can conquer them. We are tolerating them so that Krishna within our heart will understand that we're trying to be faithful and chaste to his service. Knowing that if he gets that signal that we are sincere in this regard, then he will come and he will conquer. He will conquer our hearts. When he conquers our hearts, that means our hearts are exclusively his property. We want to be conquered by Krishna. Just like when an army comes in to conquer a place, it has to totally defeat all opposition. Then that place becomes their property. Yes? Similarly, when we invite Krishna to conquer our hearts, that means Krishna conquers all opposition within the heart. The heart becomes exclusively his own. There's nothing but faithful, loving devotion that can possibly be in the heart that is conquered by Krishna. So we are trying to attract Krishna. By hearing Srimad Bhagavatam attentively, by chanting the holy names offenselessly, we can gradually attract Krishna to come and conquer our hearts. But why? We're chanting the holy names and we're not getting the effects. One chanting of the name of the Lord purely completely delivers us from all of our previous sins. One chanting of the name purely awakens love of God within our heart. Srila Prabhupada explains in the Nectar of Devotion that one must cultivate this attitude of humble service in order to learn how to chant the holy names in such a way that it's pleasing to Krishna. Prabhupada says, therefore, the expert spiritual master teaches the disciple how to be a very humble and very attentive servant. Through such service, our chanting is pleasing to Krishna. But if we don't have a proper service attitude, if we have an offensive attitude, our chanting will not attract Krishna. It will take long, long time. So yes, when lust comes, we must tolerate it and take shelter of Krishna. and perform the right actions and speak the right words according to what will please Krishna. And when envy comes, when pride comes, when greed comes, when anger comes, they are all interrelated. Essentially, they're all springing from kama. They're all springing from the desire to enjoy apart from Krishna. That's lust. They're inseparable. If you have lust, you will be angry. If you have lust, you're already envious. If you have lust, you have to be greedy. If you're in lust, you're an illusion. So how to overcome lust? How to overcome all these anarthas? By engaging our mind and senses favorably in devotional service to the Lord and His devotees. That is our eternal principle. And then Krishna, who is magnificently and mercifully present in His name, He will conquer our hearts. So let us serve with great sincerity and humility. Tani saravani samyamya yukta asita matpara vasehi yasyandriyani tasya pragya pratishtita. Krishna explains intelligence. One who restrains the senses and fixes the mind on me. He is a man of steady intelligence. We must simultaneously restrain the urges of the lower animalistic propensities of our mind and senses, just to show Krishna that we are His faithful, chaste servants. The only way to do that is when we become attacked. And we will be attacked. Practically at every moment, attacks are coming. When we are attacked, we have to very, very faithfully turn to Krishna. Gauranga Mahaprabhu gave us such a simple, accessible process of taking shelter of Krishna in every situation. That is the chanting of His holy names. Hare Krishna. Kama esha krodha esha rajoguna samudbhava mahashano mahapapma vidyenam iha vairanam. It is lust only, Arjuna, which is later transformed into wrath, which is the all-devouring, sinful enemy of this world. Krishna says at the very beginning, give up this enemy, defeat this enemy of lust. That is why when these enemies attack, it's actually very good. If we're sincere, it's very good. If we're not sincere, it's very bad. But if we're sincere, what do? We're helpless, we're hopeless. Krishna, save me. That is all we can do. Run to the Devotees Association. Run before the deities. Run to Srimad Bhagavatam. Run to that place where devotional service is being performed. That pure protective environment. And intensely, in a prayerful mood, helplessly cry out the holy names of
Krishna. Krishna, 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 Krishna.
Do not give up hope. The most hopeless predicament is where there is the most hope. In the most hopeless predicament, when we turn to Krishna, completely shedding all the clothes of our separate arrangements for happiness and safety, there you will find the ultimate hope, Krishna. Thank you very much.